You will open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll look at verse 31 in just a moment. But just a reminder that Thanksgiving Song Fest, Lord willing, 1 week from tonight, 7:30 to 9. So no 6 p.m. service. So you can get your extra long nap in and come together and sing praises together with area Christians on Sunday night. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting can be difficult. You don't have to amen that because you know that it's true. I've waited with some of you in the hospital waiting room. Waiting on a loved one to get through a surgery, to hear the report. And so many of us have waited for many different things, waiting for health to improve, waiting for a loved one to come home. And the times of waiting and the different circumstances are many. Waiting can be difficult. We're in God's waiting room from time to time, waiting for our prayers to be answered or our needs to be met. Well, how can we keep from being weary and faint-hearted as we wait, as Isaiah is encouraging the people of Judah here? How do we persevere? What are Christians to do while we wait? As we look at Isaiah chapter 40, let's put it in its historical context again. The Jews to whom Isaiah spoke were waiting. They knew what it meant to be weary. They had been serving as slaves in Babylon for 70 years. And now they're being told that they are going to be able to return home. And they're thinking about that 600-mile journey. Do we have the strength that we need to make that journey all the way back to Jerusalem, to Judah? Did they possess the physical strength they needed to walk and not faint on the way home? Perhaps we ask similar questions about circumstances in which we find ourselves. Where am I going to find the strength? How can I not grow weary and faint as I look at the things that I'm having to deal with? Where can I find that strength? What do I do while I'm waiting? Notice again in the context of Isaiah chapter 40, you'll find the words weary and faint in three different verses in this context. Notice with me verse 28. First of all, Isaiah points to God, and notice what he says about God. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So Isaiah looks at God and he says, God will not faint. He'll not grow weary. But then he looks at man, even to the youths in verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. There's a contrast there from God who is never weary, never faints. But then there are people, humans, even young ones, that do grow weary and faint and utterly fall. And he brings these two polar opposites, if you will, together in a grand thought. That is that God is a giving God who bestows his power on the weary. Notice with me verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord, however, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Where do we get that power? Where do we get that strength to carry on? Verse 29. He, God, gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. The source of our strength is found in God. Humans fail. Humans grow weary. We get tired. We grow faint. But God's promise is, as we continue to do His will, that He'll provide the strength that we need to carry on. But as we can focus on waiting and what we do while we're waiting, take note of this, that waiting is an active process. Someone penned this poem: "Be not weary in well-doing, with a heart for any fate. Still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait." Waiting is an active process. So what do we do while we're waiting? I want to suggest a few things that we can do, need to do while we're waiting. Waiting on God, waiting for something to happen that we're looking for in our lives. While we wait, number one, let's pray. Let's pray. And there may be times in our waiting experiences when this is all we can do, is to pray. We may feel so burdened and weary that we don't know exactly what to say or for what to pray. But God encourages us, pray. Even when we cannot form the words, He's assured us that He understands. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 25. "If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I love that passage, because that passage teaches us that when we're in that waiting room, God's waiting room, and don't really know what to pray for, can't form the words, that the Spirit of God expresses the thoughts of our hearts to an all-knowing God. He takes the thoughts, the even rambled thoughts, the feelings that we have, and has the ability to understand. God knows what we're going through. He searches the hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit makes intercession for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 also compels us, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. There's strength and power in prayer when you're in God's waiting room. Praying is one thing we can do while we wait. May I encourage you to do this? And some of you do this already. Some of you, in traveling to work, some of you travel some distance, have told me use that as your prayer time. And I think that's a marvelous practice. Sandy and Greg, on the way to Andalusia the other day, that was my prayer time. I prayed for you. I prayed for so many of you and my family. And yes, I prayed with my eyes open, just in case you were wondering. But I think God hears those prayers. So look for those opportunities. Take those opportunities to go to God in prayer. There's strength and power in prayer. Number two, while we wait, let's study God's Word. There are many passages we could cite. I'm only going to look at one under this point. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Other versions, instead of the word rest, have "be still." Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. How difficult is that in our world, to be still and before the Lord and wait patiently for Him? Listen to this quote. "We live in a society that does not know much about how to be still. We stay in the fast lane, rushing from one place to another. We cram our lives with so many activities, we don't leave ourselves any time to be still. When we finally do slow down, we're usually so exhausted we just fall asleep." In that society, especially in that society that I think aptly describes ours, we need to take heed, be still before the Lord, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. We'll come back to Psalm 37 in a moment. But while we wait, that's a wonderful time for us to spend time reading the Word of God. And not just checking off a list, well, I've read my Bible today, but really reading and meditating, thinking about how God's Word applies to our everyday lives, mulling it over, spending time with God through His Word. We find encouragement, guidance, and strength to persevere. While you wait, study God's Word. While we wait, let's obey God. Waiting on the Lord and obedience to God go hand in hand. Here's some wonderful passages. Isaiah 26 verse 8. Isaiah 26 verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. So walking in the way of his laws and waiting for him go hand in hand. While we wait, let's continue to be obedient to God. Psalm 37 again. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. While we wait, what do? We continue to be obedient to God. We don't use this time of waiting, as some do, as an excuse not to obey God. Well, I'll start being more obedient to God once I get through this crisis. No, it's in this period of crisis that I especially need to be obedient to God. I don't ever need to postpone my obedience to him. Look at Saul as an example. This comes from 1 Samuel chapter 13. If you have your Bibles or your iPads, I might as well say that. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Notice with me here. Saul was having trouble waiting. And notice what he does. 1 Samuel 13, beginning with verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, apparently Samuel had said, wait 7 days, and I'll come and offer sacrifices to God before you go into battle. So he's been waiting. 7 days have passed. Samuel's been postponed for some reason. His people are scattering. They're hiding. They're trembling. What's he going to do? Verse 9. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Notice that was Samuel's job. That was Samuel's responsibility as the priest. But Saul takes it upon himself and offers the burnt offering. Verse 10, it happened as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. You see, Saul had a wait problem, W-A-I-T. And as he was waiting and frustrated, and Samuel didn't come within that prescribed time, he took matters into his own hands. And folks, when we do that and we disregard God's will, it leads to trouble. What do while we wait? We resist temptation to try to cut corners or do things that are not ethical or moral. and that are not in line with the will of God. We resist that temptation. We continue to keep our vow of faithfulness to God. While we wait, let's obey God. While we wait, let's look for good. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. While we're waiting, and we're struggling with waiting, anxious for an answer, a resolution, we tend to get wrapped up into the issue at hand. But it's then that we need to take a step back and begin to look at our blessings, to count our blessings, as we sang this morning. While we wait, we must make the choice to look for good, to count those blessings, even when the waiting is difficult. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And someone this afternoon reminded me of this passage and reminded me of the context that Paul was in prison when he said this. But he's saying, make the choice to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's in prison, but he's talking about rejoicing and even thanksgiving. While we're waiting, let's look for the good in our lives and meditate on those things. While we're waiting, let's do something for others. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. While we're waiting, let's do something good for others. Dr. James Dobson says that some of the best therapy he gives to patients who are suffering from depression, probably a mild depression, is to have them become involved in the lives of other people. He says serving others takes their minds off of their own problems, and this is often what the patient needs most. Sometimes when we're in that waiting room, in God's waiting room, waiting for something to change, if we can get out of that situation and focus on the needs of others, it'll bring new perspective to what we're facing. We may feel helpless in regard to our own circumstances, but even then, if we can reach out and help others, it will help us in our own lives. There's always someone who needs a visit, a phone call, a letter of encouragement, food, any number of things, a listening ear. While we're waiting, let's think about others. And while we're waiting, let's prepare. Let's prepare. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Prepare your minds for action. I want to tell you about a lady that I read about by the name of Patricia McMahon. She found out she had cancer when her son Kurt was only 9 months old. When Kurt was 3, Pat's cancer recurred, and the doctor told her it was terminal. Well, Pat began to prepare for her death. Listen to some words that she wrote. My illness has given me the opportunity to decide how I want to weave the fabric of our days and nights together. I want few regrets and no compromises when it comes to me influencing this precious human entrusted to my care. She's been told it's terminal. You're going to die. So she resolved that whatever day she had left, she's going to do everything she could to help raise her 3-year-old son to be a godly man. She lived each day to its fullest. She wrote a journal for Kurt and painted pictures for his room. She prayed with him and taught him about heaven. And notice this entry in her journal for Kurt. Dear Kurt, as much as we try to dig in our heels, this earth is not our real home. We're passing through on our way to eternity. And I know the greatest legacy I want to give you is a love of God and strong desire to always put Him first in your life. Love, Mom. Can you imagine the impact that that would have on this boy, Kurt, as he would grow older and read again the words of his mother who did pass away? A few days before Pat's death, she told the minister of the congregation where she attended to tell the people their prayers for her had not been in vain. She added, "I'm at peace with what is about to happen. When I die, it'll be a victory, not a defeat." Pat prepared for her death, and her preparation inspired all those who knew her. While you're waiting, prepare. Are there preparations that we need to be making? Not necessarily for our passing, but for this period of time that we're going through, are there preparations that we need to be making? For when that time period ends, or when our life is over on this earth. While we wait, let's prepare. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 37. And if I'm speaking to anyone that's in God's waiting room tonight, this is a passage of Scripture. This is a psalm that's excellent to read if you become weary in waiting. And I want to read this psalm with you tonight. I don't have it on the PowerPoint. Hopefully you have your Bible or electronic device to read along with me. But if you don't, please read it through the week. We'll be able to glean as we read that the psalmist is going through some difficulty with his enemies. And so that comes through. But there's also so much that is said about how he gained strength from God and how he responded to this time of difficulty in his life. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, or be still in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the day of the upright, the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those who are blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those who are cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. If you're in God's waiting room tonight, I believe there's a message for us. And I invite you and encourage you to read and study God's word, including Psalm 37, and continue to trust in God. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is work to do while we wait. Waiting is not passive. But if we'll devote our lives to prayer, to studying God's word, to obedience to God throughout our lives, to service to others, giving thanks and preparing while we wait, we'll find that necessary strength that we need to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ tonight, if you're tired from struggling with sin and are ready now to turn away from sin and be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, you can become a child of God tonight. If you need the prayers of the church as you have struggled in some area in your life and just need that strength that only God can provide, let us pray with you and for you. If you need to respond, please do so right now as we stand and sing.